Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast, of the show, Lead Singer Syndrome. I'm your host, as always, Shane Told, as I take you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers. I've talked to some great people over the years. I've talked to some great dudes, some bands I admire. But this episode today truly is a special one. Mr. Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach is here. He was fired up. We had a great time talking about the old days, the new days, everything in between. The fact that they have a second greatest hits album coming out. Just how relevant this band has stayed. How much their music has actually improved over their 20 plus year career. And this guy is just such a good dude, man. I cannot speak more highly of him. So this was an absolute pleasure. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation that I have. Before we get into that, some show news. I like to make sure you're aware of all the different things happening here on Lead Singer Syndrome. The biggest one, I've been talking about it for a few months now, is the fact that we are on Twitch. This very episode was done on Twitch live. That's why there's a little bit of, you know, chat room stuff happening. It's cool. But if you want to be tuning in to the podcast that I'm doing live, and you can, you know, ask the guest questions or ask me questions or hang out after or whatever, make sure you go over to twitch.tv/ShaneTold and give me a follow. It's completely free. And it really is a great way to do it. I'm getting better at the video, the visual component and all that. I got a nice camera now. So things are getting a little more pro around here. So head over there. Twitch is a good time. It's not just for gamers anymore. There is some awesome music stuff over there. Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm doing podcasts. Wednesday, 6 p.m., me and Mike Howell are doing New Noise, counting down the top releases of the week. And then, I mean, just this morning, I was writing tunes with people in the chat on Twitch. So it's a really good time. Twitch.tv/ShaneTold. If you want to support the show, also check out the Patreon. Bonus episodes, bonus content, a great community, more access to me, etc., etc. For that, head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. For as little as $6 a month, that gets you in, and that keeps this thing going strong every week like it has for over 5 years. Can you believe that? 5 years. And it's been 5 years we've been waiting for Jacoby. So let's not wait a minute longer. Let's just go right now. Here's my conversation with Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach, and I will talk to you afterwards.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding.
Yo, Jacoby, what's up, man?
What's going down,
dude? Just hanging out, you know, trying to enjoy my Tuesday. We're starting to get some nice weather up here in Canada finally, so that's you know, can't complain.
Where you at?
I live just outside Detroit, actually south of Detroit in a city called Windsor. I don't know if you've ever been here.
I know exactly where you're at.
Yeah. So I'm from Toronto area. Like grew up in the suburbs, lived downtown for a long time, and met a girl out here, moved out here a couple years ago, a little slower pace, yeah. But I like having the border right there. I like having Detroit right there. I had some good times in Detroit, man. So it's a good
city.
Sure,
I've had many good times in Detroit, man. That's a great town, dude.
Yeah, no, I remember you did, forget what it was, if it was like a deluxe edition of one of your records you had like live from the Fillmore, like a whole bunch of tracks, which I thought was rad too. It's a great venue.
Dude, that shit slapped, dude. I like the flyers you got going on back there, dude. You got a lot of water music. I see some Slayer, some Minor Threat. What's up, dude?
Yeah. So what I did is I got I'm down in my basement and I redid it and it was like a little too clean. I wanted to like kind of have like a punk wall, you know? So I literally like I was trying to figure out like how I could do it. And I literally, I mean, maybe it's not that cool. These aren't original flyers or whatever. I literally just printed them off the internet. But every single one has a lot of meaning to me. It's either like a tour I went to, or like I got a lot of local shows that I went to when I was a kid up here, or just bands I really like. So yeah, it's cool. And it's a piece of me.
I have a Van Halen down there, dude.
Yeah, wasn't it that one, sadly. But
that's a cool one, though, dude. I'm just looking. I'm like, see Black Flag in there.
Yeah.
That's dope. I like that a lot, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks, man. So welcome everybody in the chat here on Twitch. I got Jacoby from Papa Roach. This is awesome. Thanks for doing this, man. A lot of people are like, Twitch, what's that? Like, but I feel like you embrace all the new shit.
How do people not know what Twitch is by now?
You'd be surprised, man.
Motherfuckers living underneath a rock, or what's going on?
Well, yeah, you got the TikTok song that you did. Like I feel like you guys are just embracing, and maybe you have the whole time, which is maybe why you're still so popular.
I mean, you know, for us, it's like, we're looking at these social media platforms as just, it's a stage, really and truly. That's what people are using it for. And for instance, like what we're doing right here, it's like, all right, yeah, people are home chilling, watching this, or they're at work watching this. But this is a stage. It's just through the internet. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And we've definitely embraced it. I think that it's important for us to do that, because it's like, well, I mean, we could have went home, you know, last March and just went silent, but I don't want to go silent. I'm too fucking loud. I want to live a loud life. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man.
Plus, we found that dude, Jairus Johnson, through TikTok, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
We saw this thing was popping off, going viral, and... you know, people started texting me the link to this thing. And next thing I know, I'm like at the grocery store shopping. And the dude that was checking me out's like, oh, dude, I heard that track. That dude, Jairus Johnson, he did like a little clip of one of your songs. And so that's when I was like, oh, this thing's really kind of like catching on. And so fast forward, that thing's getting spun like a motherfucker on Spotify and on Pandora and, you know, Apple Music. People are spinning it, man. People are digging it.
No, it's really cool. And I, you know, my band Silverstein, we've done, you know, like Redux albums where we've like went back and re-recorded songs. And, you know, we kind of have like, fuck it. Like, we're not better than that. We're not too cool to like take a new spin on a song or whatever. And I feel like you take the same approach. It's like a lot of artists would go, oh, that's like from our first album or second album. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we're sick of that song. We don't want to re-record it. We don't want to sing that again. We don't want to make a video. Where you guys just embrace this as a tool. Not to mention like, hey, maybe it's kind of fun to do something like this.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think, you know, I'm a big fan of hip hop music. I've been listening to hip hop since I was a kid. You know, alongside the metal and the punk and, you know, that other music that I listen to. But hip hop's got something that I've always wanted to do, and it's that collaboration, that collaborative element. And a lot of rock bands, you know, it's a little more difficult, I guess, with a rock band, because it's like, how do you get four guys to collaborate with another band, four guys?
Right.
So it tends to be a vocalist or a guitar player, you know, or a drummer, you know, coming in and getting on other people's tracks. And I just feel that element is starting to bubble up in rock music, and we're part of that, you know, and collabing with these other artists and bringing other artists onto our records and, you know, remixing stuff. There's a couple things we have in the bag with these two separate artists that I'm flipping up some of their stuff. They're flipping up some of our stuff, and then we're going to collaborate in the studio and see what we come up with and just start putting out these little like capsule EP type things. And just fuck it, man. Like,
yeah,
rock and roll cannot be boring. You know what I mean? Like, it's a genre that is continually overlooked in the mainstream lately. And it's just like, fuck that, man. We're here to make noise and be heard. And I think a major way to do that is through collaboration.
Big time. No, you're right. It's changed. I mean, you guys come from the old school. I got a lot of questions about those days because I find it really interesting, you know, where you came from. But before we get to that, like, you know, the idea of, okay, every 2-3 years, we're going to put out an album. Our contracts with our record labels are structured that way. You know, it's based on albums. It's based on number of tracks on an album. Well, all of a sudden, that's changing in a big way. To where, not to say artists won't make albums anymore, especially, you know, your fans kind of, they want that, they expect that, but you can also do anything on the side. And maybe this pandemic has also showed us we can, maybe partly because we have more time, but really, like, all rules are off completely.
That's how I feel about it, man. I'm just like, you know, we just signed a new contract with a new record company and, you know, it's a classic deal. It's a one album deal. But the reason we didn't sign like a 3-4 album, 5 album deal is because the industry is just changing so damn fast that it's like, I don't want to have to renegotiate a deal down the way so I can do these things that are outside the box and collaborative and putting out music that feels like it's in the moment. You know what I mean? And that's what I feel like is important is being, I guess, with the times and let it be a true reflection of what's happening in the world and, you know what I mean? And just, and allow that to infect the music. And yeah, we'll do records. You know what I mean? That's important. But it's also, like you said, man, you just got to fuck around and just have some fun with it.
For sure. For sure. Now, part of the reason we're talking is because you've released your second greatest hits album. You know, you're on the circuit, you're talking about it a little bit. And hey, man, did you ever think, like, when you were a kid, it's still in Papa Roach, still in high school, that you would not have one, but two greatest hits album? Like, isn't that kind of a crazy, like, I mean, I know you've it's come to this point, but like, delete everything in the middle and it's like, what?
Yeah, totally. It's like, I'm sitting here, I got these, I'll show you, I got these, like, I was going through my stuff the other day and I have a box of these, like, you know, the OG cassette sampler, you know, and it's got like Last Resort and Dead Cell on it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, I, you know, these things are over 20 years old now. These came out in 1999, bro.
Yeah.
It's vintage right here.
Yeah.
But to look back and go Greatest Hits Volume 2, like, what the fuck? Like, I can't believe that, man. It really blows me away. I'm definitely humbled and grateful that we've been able to maintain an identity in the fabric of rock and roll and, you know, just make a mark and continue to make a mark. We just had a number one track with The Ending, which is on that, as on the greatest hits.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, I got to pinch myself sometimes because this wild ass dream that I had when I was a kid, like, I'm living it. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And, it's come with a lot of heartache through the years, you know, to be honest. There's a lot of sacrifice we put into this. You know, I missed out on a lot with my family because I gave myself to this rock and roll. Rock and roll is also, that's a family to me. Like, it really is. You know, I've been off the road now for a year and I'm like, fuck, man, I miss my road dogs, man. You know?
I do, man. I'm with you, man. So much to unpack. Before we stop talking about the tapes, I actually remember getting a bunch of those at Warped Tour. Were you guys handing out those tapes at Warped Tour? I don't know.
We were slinging the tapes and the CDs.
Yeah.
Dude.
So I don't think I have that one. I have, if you can believe it, I have an Eminem like tape in an O card from when Eminem was on Warped Tour, whenever that was, 99. Yeah, 99. Yeah. I've got one of those. I've got like an old Bouncing Souls one that's like before Hopeless Romantic came out. So yeah, man, I love those. That's really cool you have that. And someone in the chat saying they'd pay a pretty penny for it. I bet they would. It's rare.
Oh, dude. That's why I'm holding on to them, dude, for a rainy day, you know?
Retirement, yeah.
I mean, I only got like 8 left. I keep giving them away, you know?
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, shit, what am I? It's not, I'm not trying to have them collect dust, dude.
Well, speaking of your, you know, your greatest hits volume 2, you know, one thing that's struck me about your band is I really believe, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass at all. I think your band has gotten better. I think your songs have gotten better. Yeah. You know, I'm hearing them up here in Detroit. Sadly, 89X, the radio station's been shut down. But like every time it sucks, man. They're a country station now.
Fuck.
Yeah. It sucks.
Dude. That's a bummer.
It is. One of the best. It's
like rock and roll lives in so many other spaces now, dude. It's like you're looking at the stuff. People are doing stuff like this. Octane is a major thing, you know?
Yeah.
Sirius Radio is a major thing. The Pandora radio stations are huge. Spotify is ripping, dude. Rock This. Allison Hagendorf has the Rock This show that she's doing. It's like there's so many other rad avenues that just go worldwide that it's evolving, yeah. You know? And so it's a bummer, though, to see some of these terrestrial radio stations going away.
Dude. No, it's such a bummer. But they would play you guys all the time, and it seemed like, you know, every new single they'd play, and I'd be like, this track's better than the last one. And, you know, I fuck with Infest and all the old records, but I'm like, I think this band is you know, like a fine wine. And I was looking up the stats, like, I think you've had more hits in the last 10 years than you did in the first, you know, 10 years. So congratulations on being able to keep that up. I mean, do you have a secret to the success?
Oh, dude. Well, for us, it's like, it's always been an evolution in the sound of the band that's been key to keeping it fresh for us. And I think when it kind of started to get stale for us for a little bit, you know, and I kind of felt like we were getting painted up into a box. And so after we did our album, Fear, we started working with some new producers. We went in and we did a session with these young dudes, Nick and Colin, and they hadn't really had any like full records they had produced. They had just like done songs with bands.
Yeah.
And so we got in the studio with these cats and they were just full of life, full of energy. They weren't jaded by the industry. And we knew that we had found like our new crew. And so we started working with these guys and making records with them. And it was like, fuck the rules, fuck the system, fuck the walls that we built up around ourselves, and start making records that just blow our minds again. And they really just opened up our not give a fuck element.
Yeah.
And that's what really kind of like kicked us into this new creative space and this energy. And it was inspiring for us, because sometimes when we've worked with producers in the past, and I don't want to dog them at all, because they're great producers.
Right.
We've worked with some of the greatest producers. But you know, at some point it's like those guys kind of have their way they do things. This is how I do it. And you get put into that system. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted people to work with people that understood who we were, understood the legacy of the band, but understood that we wanted to evolve this project and reinvent it. And so when we went in to go do the album Crooked Teeth, we worked with a few different producers to figure out like who the people were going to be. That's why we ended up doing a track with this dude, Jason Evigan, really good friend of ours. We did Born for Greatness. That was actually the first song we recorded for Crooked Teeth. And it was like, it was very intentional. We were like, let's go in the studio. We want to write something that is so outside the box and so different, but so us in some way. And we did it with that song. And I remember when the record company heard that song, they were just like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You know,
we're like,
okay, cool. We're on the right path, you know, because it's like, we were a little bit uncomfortable with it. Right. Cause it was like, it was so different, but that's like every time we've done that in the past, you know, we had that same feeling when we wrote the song Scars, right? It was like, this is different. This is so different from us, because we were coming off the heels of like Infest and Love Hate Tragedy, and but we did it and we put it out, and now it feels like that's classic Papa Roach, right? But years later, we just got to keep evolving that, you know. So I guess it's a very long-winded answer to
no, it's a great answer,
I guess, what we're doing. But it's like, fuck, you got to stay inspired, man.
Yeah.
And be able to have failures as well, and be okay with having failures, you know. We've put out songs, like we had a song called Periscope that I believe is one of the greatest songs we've ever written. But it didn't really translate commercially for us. Mm-hmm. But I don't fucking care. like that's another one of those songs that when we play it live, it just adds this whole nother depth and element of who we are. And I think that that's important. Also, one more thing is that the way that we approach records now is that instead of writing an album full of songs that we're trying to make singles, right? Yeah. We're like, all right, let's get the songs that we feel could be the singles. And then the rest of the stuff, instead of trying to make like half-baked singles, let's go make some adventurous music that takes fans on a journey. And I think that that element of doing that has made the records, if you listen through the album as a whole, it's like, we take you on this journey. And I feel that that's like, that doing that then helps when we go back in to make the next single, we'll add some of that adventurousness into
right
where you're in the mainstream version of your band. And it's always, trial and error. You know what I mean? It's always trial and error. And I'm not afraid to fail, because we've got a legacy, so we can handle that,
I love that, man. You're so honest, dude, with these answers. Like, you really are. I think that's a great point you bring up, though, about some bands, especially younger bands, if you're on a major label, they want the hits. And they don't want just one hit. If they want 12 potentially, because if number one doesn't stick, if number five doesn't stick, if number nine doesn't stick, they still have, number 12 to put out there. But over time, that sort of waters down what you're trying to do in terms of being a band that your fans want to go see live. They want more than just pop songs, right?
Yeah.
Whether they're rock, in the rock genre or you know what I mean. Three and a half minute structured songs. Like, so when you guys do go on those adventures, let's say, some of your best stuff has come through, I think, all through your career.
Absolutely, man. I think the adventurousness is key. I think, honestly, that's why I don't have a side project.
Right.
People are like, why don't you do like a side project? I'm like, I get to scratch all the itches in P. Roach.
Great.
It's just, I don't need to. And, part of that, too, it's been a struggle for us because sometimes people look at our band and they're like, well, what is your identity? And I'm like, well, fucking ADD. That's our identity. We're all over the place.
That's great, man. No, good for you guys. I mean, you're hardworking, too. That's a big thing. Yeah. I know, like, you've talked in the past about some of your struggles and your demons and, you've been sober for almost 10 years now. Congratulations on that. Has that factored in? Like, has that made
this,
you more productive?
I gotta be forthright and honest. So during the pandemic, man, I fell off the wagon and, I didn't pick up drinking. Thank God. But I started smoking weed again and I'm telling you, dude, like I thought that it would work for me and anytime I put a mind altering substance in my body, it just clouds me and distorts my spirit, my creativity, and who I am. And so, I had to kick that out again. And so I go to like recovery meetings and stuff like that. And, so I went back and I got a new sobriety date. Yeah. I didn't pick up the bottle. Thank God.
Yeah.
But, I was not clean and sober. And so I started my time over, and so I'm like, I just got 4 months again. And, for me, it just feels good to be clear minded and clear headed again. But dude, I was kind of stressed out during the pandemic. I had a lot of fear built up, just around like, how am I going to pay my bills? Like I'm not on the road anymore. This is scary. But you know what? We're making it through, dude. I just keep saying no. No, we can't do that. No, we can't buy that. No, no kids. No.
Well, I don't know what it's like. I mean, I assume you're in Sacramento area still.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, when everything was closed down for a while and I had the same fear, my band got pulled out of the middle of our 20th anniversary tour, which was like our money for the year. And it's like, it's like, nope, I'm going to the store. I'm buying Mr. Noodles. Like this is, this is the way it is now. And it's funny from not going anywhere and not spending any money, I actually actually I kind of have money right now. Like it's not that bad.
Totally, dude.
Start saving money.
It's been a really good exercise. I feel like,
yeah,
you know, especially for my kids, because my kids have had a pretty good life, you know, and I've not necessarily say spoiled them, because I'm not really into that, but they definitely like to.
Yeah,
I think it's good for kids to hear no once in a while, right? But I mean, I read that, you know, you were pretty poor growing up. In fact, yeah. I even read you were homeless the first year of your life. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, man. My family was, you know, in the 70s, it was like they were a little more like gypsies in a sense, you know?
Right.
And right. It wasn't such a big deal to my family. And not, I mean, I was one, so I was a little baby. I didn't know, you know, I just was like, I had a little apple box. That was my little crib. And, you know, I did it like that. We had a van. We lived in a van. We didn't live in a van down by the river. It would have been cooler if we did. You know, we lived in a tent for probably a year. We lived in a teepee, like literally lived in a teepee for a while. And my parents were hippies, you know, so it's kind of like it worked out for them. My dad was a Vietnam veteran, so he was a recluse. He didn't really want to be part of society. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we just lived very, very simple lives. And, you know, but eventually I think my mom had enough of it and was just like, we need to find a place to live. Like we have kids that are about to be going to school. We need an address. You know what I mean? And so we finally got this place in a town called Awani and started living in a house. And that was pretty cool, you know, but then eventually, you know, my dad was crazy, man. He had a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where some of my crazy comes from, is my father. Yeah, man, switched up lives. And then she got remarried and ended up with a guy. He was really like, took care of us well. You know, so thanks to shout out to all the stepdads out there, or anybody who's got stepdads that are stepping up to the plate and holding it down.
Hey, that's really great to hear, because more often than not, you hear about step parents that aren't so great. So that's really good for you, man.
Dude, I lucked out, man. My stepdad is dope. He is like a super awesome individual. And it's funny, if you like put me and him side by side, I look like I could be his son. It's kind of tricky.
Cool. That's cool. That's really cool, yes, man.
I'm getting all deep here. I'm sorry.
No, I do wonder, like, if sometimes, if you know, if someone, you know, is your father figure, like, if you, maybe you don't look like them exactly, but you might pick up their mannerisms and stuff to where, well, if you act like them, and, you know, you could end up sort of resembling them in a way, right?
Yeah, man. I will say about my stepdad, he taught me about hard work. I'll tell you that straight up. Like, he had me. When I was 14, he's like, you need a job. You need to start your own business. And I was like, all right, I'll start a business. So I started I still have the flyer in a box back away, but it was jack of all trades. And it was like, I have a wheelbarrow. I will travel. I will mow your lawn. I can wash your car. I can babysit. I'm CPR certified. Like I went around the neighborhood and put this flyer out, and I worked my ass off on the regular, man. I made pretty good money. And then, so since I was 14, I've always had some kind of way of making money, on my own. And he taught me that, you know, that hard work, it pays off, and it's filtered off into my professional career. You know, that, you know, when shit gets tough, like, it's all right. You can just eat top ramen, get by, keep working your ass off, and you'll come to another success eventually, you know?
Yeah.
And, Here I have.
No, people don't think about
back in the day, dude.
Oh yeah. What else?
Yeah. Okay. So I was a dishwasher. That was
I was too.
But I did the dishwashing. I was a janitor at a hospital, which was kind of cool. I liked that job a lot. I got to work in all these different units within the hospital. Like I worked in the children's unit. That was interesting. I worked in the NICU, which is, they call it the NICU, which is neonatal intensive care. And so that's like the little preemie baby. So I'm in there like sweeping around, and they got this little freaking baby like the size of your hand in this little incubator. And I'm just like, oh shit, that's crazy. You know, I worked in the rehab for a while, which I was like, oh man, these people are crazy. Oh yeah. I eventually became one of them. I worked in the intensive care units. I worked in the OR there too, which was a trip. So like, you know, in between the surgeries, I would clean up the operating rooms. And then I got into like stripping and waxing floors there. And then here's the craziest job I did there was I worked the incinerator. And so when you work at a hospital, right, and you have an incinerator there, what are you burning at the hospital? You're burning body parts.
And Holy shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually like have a leg in my hand, like throwing it in. It just, I'd go up to the OR or to the ICUs and I would pick up these boxes and they would be biohazard taped and you knew what, you know, I'd shake them up and like, what's in here? I wonder what's in here. You know? But I worked the incinerator, man. So I would burn body parts.
Oh, man. That's incredible. That's a new one, man. Yeah. Like that's definitely like Kerrang is going to hit you up, be like, hey man, like what's your craziest job you ever had? You know, they'll ask like 100 artists. You'll win. You'll win with that one.
It's a wild one, dude. It's like, what? Yeah. and then I signed a record deal.
Right. No, yeah. But no, you know, a lot of people don't think about, you know, they look at like rock star guys, you know, you got your hair and your tattoo, jewelry, whatever. And they don't think like that guy's an entrepreneur, but really that's what 100% what everyone in a band, if they're successful, they are.
Yeah.
100%. One way or the other. Yeah.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of guts to do what we do. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's, the rug can get pulled out from under you at any moment. You know, our bodies are our instruments, really and truly. You know, it's like, I've had a couple surgeries. That shit was frightening. Oh man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I want to ask you a specific question. I alluded it to her earlier, but I want to ask you about how you got signed. And I just find the era of, let's just say pre the internet. It's not quite pre the internet, but very primitive internet years. It was so different, you know, how a band approached a record label, especially a major label, and got signed. So tell me how that worked. How did you get like your tape or whatever into the hands of a major label executive in 1998, whatever it was?
Oh, so back in the day, even before we had management, we had our drummer, Dave Buckner. He had this like AKA, his name was Chachi Arcola. And, I think it's from like Happy Days or something like that.
Okay.
And, but he would call up the clubs and be like, hey, it's Chachi Arcola, Papa Roach's manager, blah, blah, blah. Leave the message, looking to, you know, get booked on a show at your club, whatnot. Call up different record companies. Hey, this is Chachi Arcola, you know, just cold call. Right. Be like, hey, we want to send our stuff to you. And we hustled it like that. And we got it turned down by everybody, every record company. Nobody wanted to sign us. We were not, really and truly, we were not ready to get a record deal when we thought we needed a record deal.
Of course.
Yeah. And so we just kept slugging it out in the trenches. And eventually we got some management local up in the area, Sacramento, and started working with these dudes. And they started putting us on all the club shows around, getting us open for like Deftones and stuff. And we kept sending our music out to these record companies via, you know, the mail. It's like put a CD in the mail with a pack, you know, press kit package and stuff. And cross your fingers and wait to hear back from them. And eventually, after getting turned down by, I mean, we had a demo deal with Warner Brothers.
Oh yeah,
that we lost. We didn't. The A&R got fired.
So for people that don't know what that means, essentially, it's kind of like a label will give you some money to record some demos to hear, and then they'll have like first stab at you basically if they like the demos, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so the process that the A&R got fired in the process of it. And so we recorded Last Resort, Dead Cell, Broken Home, I think maybe Blood Brothers and one other song. She Loves Me Not, actually.
Okay.
Which She Loves Me Not didn't actually make it onto Infest, made it onto Love Hate Tragedy. But they passed on us. And so we were like, fuck, what are we going to do? We were like, we planned on putting that EP out and just slanging it ourselves and touring the country, just DIY style. And then, somebody at DreamWorks, this guy, Ron Handler, he came down to the studio and heard some tracks and was like, oh gee, we got to sign you. Oh, you guys are the real deal. I got to come see you live. And so he came and saw us live, you know, cause we had done like free Monday nights at the Troubadour in Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
Because we didn't want to pay. You know, when like people were going to the whiskey and you had to like pay to play, I'm like, fuck that, dude. I'm paying to play. That's bullshit.
Yeah, we had that in Toronto for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started doing the free Monday nights and started making some waves. That's how we got that demo deal. But Ron Handler came up and saw us. We put a show in the San Luis Obispo. And afterwards, I remember standing in a circle afterwards, and you know, our manager was kind of hustling a little bit, you know, like, what do you think? What's up? And he's like, kind of looks at us and he's like, well, I think we've got to do this. And I remember my friend, Peter, who played drums in this other band called Twomp. And he was all, and he kind of interjected and he was like, sign Twomp? And we were like, Peter, fuck up. I think we're ready to do this, man. I think we're going to ink this deal, boys. And I just remember sitting there, like, my wife at the time, she's still my wife, but right. My wife, I just remember looking at her and just, we were both just like, oh my God, like, this is fucking happening, you know, because she had been there through all this, right? Like, yeah. I've been with my wife since I was 17. And, you know, she supported us and was very, it was, yeah, another long fucking answer to a simple question.
I love it. That's
my new name, old Kobe Windbags over here.
I love that. I love that you have a beautiful love story in your life too, and beautiful family. Congratulations on all that as well, man. I won't take up too much more of your time, but no, like, it's funny how you end up using money that you get from one label to make like pretty good demos, and then you end up turning it into a, like, it happened with another band I was in too. We had a demo deal from Warner, and then they didn't want us, but then Atlantic wanted to sign us, and then that fell through for another reason. But it is funny how that stuff can work out.
Yeah, man. Like I was saying earlier, it's like, we're not afraid to fail. I think that's the thing about musicians and artists, is it's like, you know, we want to succeed, but we know with every success, there's so many failures in the process of it. And people don't get to see that, you know, it's like they celebrate the successes. And, I've gotten really good at failing. I'm fucking pro.
Yeah, it's true. No, I forget who it was on the podcast. One time somebody said that, like, in order to be a musician, you have to be willing to look like a complete fucking idiot over and over again at various times in your life, and put yourself out there to, you know, and it's true. I mean, like, I'll see a video, like some viral video of someone like falling down on stage, and all I can think every time I see it is like, I've done that at least a dozen times. Probably were.
Oh yeah. Totally. You just get into it and you're like,
oh yeah. So, man.
Dude, thanks for having me. Man, I really do appreciate it, dude.
Of course, man. I'll open the chat real quick. I know you got to run, but I'll open the chat real quick for anybody that has a last minute question for Jacoby. Yeah, man. Thanks for doing this. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, maybe you're sick of talking about it. Obviously, such an iconic soundtrack. When you got that, did you have any idea what it was or how big it was?
I had no idea how big it was going to be. But I was fucking stoked because I grew up a fan of Tony Hawk. I loved his skateboards. I always loved the designs he came with.
Yeah.
Just obviously one of the illest skateboarders of all time. And the video game came out and they asked us, and I was like, of course, like, no question. I so want our song on this. And I didn't realize how big of a deal that it was. And it's fucking massive. Like, they just did a 20-year anniversary reissue as Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. And it's funny that you brought that up too, because I was at GameStop yesterday with my little 7-year-old Brixton, and he's got the Nintendo Switch, and he's like all hyped. He's like, Dad, he got this money. He saved up this money from Easter and, you know, over, you know, time doing chores. And he's like, he had enough. He's like, I'll take you, go get you a video game. He's like, Dad, I want to get Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. And so it's out, right? But it's not out for the Nintendo Switch. So he was so bummed out. He was just like, oh, Dad, it's not on the Switch yet. So, hey, people at Nintendo watching, but you're probably not. Somebody here knows somebody. Hurry up on that shit. Yeah. Man. We want to play Pro Skater 2 on the Switch, man.
Let's get that.
But yeah,
get
that dope going. Game. Super dope game.
For sure. One last question here. It's been asked a few times, and I know this guy, Wayne. He's cool. So how did the Vice documentary on Last Resort come about? I've actually not seen this, so I'm not exactly sure, but...
Oh, okay, so...
Do you see that on the screen there? Sorry, Jacoby.
Yeah, Vice does these things called... What's up? Shout out to Wayne. What up, Wayne? This is for you. Yeah, somebody's going to go ask Mr. Nintendo, so I appreciate that.
Yes.
The Nina just shark, Ninja Shark.
Yeah, there Ninja he is. Shark.
Dude, that's a good little tag, Ninja Shark. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he helps. That's Tony. He helps us out around here, man. He's one of the mods.
All right. Respect, dude.
And I guarantee you, he will. If he knows Mr. Nintendo, he will ask him.
Oh, dude, is Mr. Nintendo a person?
Probably. Where else did the name come from? Wasn't okay, Nintendo like a card game in like the 1910s or something? I swear I heard that somewhere, but.
Oh, that's cool.
That's where it originally came from. Wait, anyway, yes.
So Vice does this thing called the story of, and then they'll pick a song and kind of go in depth of the story of the song. Well, they had hit us up. It was the 20-year anniversary of Last Resort and our album Infest. And that was such an iconic moment. That's such an iconic song for us and in the genre of rock that they wanted to cover the song.
Yeah.
And the story of it. And so I was just like, of course, man, Vice, I love what Vice does. They got really interesting pieces and I watch a lot of their stuff and it's just an in-depth look into the story of, you know, coming up as a band, where the lyrics came from and from all the perspectives of everyone that was involved. So there's, you know, everybody in the band, our original drummer, Dave, is in the documentary. The piece came out really good, man. Like,
sweet.
It's a pretty emotional piece too. And I got to sit with my friend, Mark, who I had written the song about. I sing the song in first person, but the song is about I was living with my friend and he was in a real bad place. But I got to sit down with him and kind of talk through it, that period in our lives, and really come with some new perspective as adults looking back. And, you know, we had something really good. Somebody said, "Dad, yeah, I'm daddy as fuck. That's right. Papa Ro. Come on, man. Shoot." But yeah, what a cool piece. If anybody out there hasn't seen it, check it out. It came out really cool. Even for people that aren't fans of the band, like, I think it's just a really cool piece of, because, you know, every song has such a unique story and how it came about. And just, I was just so blessed to be able to like shine a spotlight on that one and take a look back and it's still a banger, dude. This thing keeps going viral on memes and on TikTok and Instagram, and it's just like every day something new pops up. I saw a dance troupe dancing to it. Some girl I saw yesterday on TikTok, apparently her thing is she sings in baby voices, and she sang it in like, you know what I mean, just all the ridiculousness.
Sure. And like people literally naming their businesses Cut My Life Into Pizzas, you know what I mean, like all that stuff is like, that's really cool that this is transcended, you know, just a song that you guys wrote as teenagers. It's pretty cool. Or I guess you're in your early 20s, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, man, it definitely blows me away. I'm very grateful that we still up in the game. We still, you know, rocking faces and just fucking living the dream.
Hell yeah.
I will say though, a lot of people have asked me about like, have you missed the road? Don't you want to get on the road? It's like, I miss my road dogs, but I didn't realize how much I needed a break until I've been home for a little while. And it's been really good to be able to recharge and just get that like hunger for like just ripping a stage again. So when we do get out there, I think my head will explode, like officially.
Yeah, I know, hopefully in a good way, right? Like an exciting, you know.
Absolutely.
One last question, because I saw it in the press release. I wanted to ask you about it. Let's tell the people about your acting debut, up and coming, The Retaliators. Oh,
yeah, Retaliators. So I got a part in a film. I was asked to be this character that is just so not like me. I am just a sick, twisted,
oh,
deplorable, disgusting individual in this film. And luckily, I had some really good directors that coached me through it and gave me the tips and really, really helped me understand how to act on camera, because everything I do in rock and roll is like, you know, it's big.
Sure.
It's over the top, you know? And so it, hold on. Are you in Silverstein?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
It only took 50 minutes to figure it out. Sorry, I should have told you earlier.
On here in the chat, rip, dude.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Oh, all this. I'm talking and I'm seeing it's all. Will there be a Silverstein Pop Roach? Because I remember you said something.
Well, we got to do it now.
And I didn't. I heard something, and right. I was like, "You're in a band." I'm like trying to figure it out, and I didn't want to be weird and ask, like, "What band are you in?"
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no.
Y'all rip, dude.
Thanks, you guys, man.
Fire. What's up, dude?
Thanks, man. Yeah. No. People. The chat is loving it.
Now I gotta ask you questions. You missed the road.
I miss the road. Yeah, I miss my dogs like you, but I do miss the shows. I do miss it. I miss traveling. I do. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you though, man. Like, we've been going hard for almost 20 years as well.
Yep.
And no breaks really. So the break is nice, but there are days where I just gotta, like, I feel like I gotta get the fuck out of here, you know?
So. Yeah. I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
It's been cool to be creative. Have you been writing like as you've been in quarantine?
I think actually, to be completely honest, I found it a bit harder to write. I don't know why, just like a little more in my own head. But one thing I've enjoyed is stuff like this, like getting a Twitch account and, you know, working on some things around the house that I just never had time to do before. Oh, watching YouTube videos and fixing up shit. Like, I like doing that stuff. So those kinds of things have been good for me.
We're the same, bro.
Yeah.
I just built a little quarter pipe for my boy.
Sick.
And me.
don't break a hip, dude.
Yeah, it's a little 2-footer, you know. It's just like low key. And actually today I got some sprinklers in the backyard that are broken, so that's like I'm tooling around in the backyard fixing those things, and you know, so the weather's starting to get good, so I'm like, all right, now I got to go. I got a fence in the back that's starting to lean over. I'm like, all right, cool. I got to go fix that.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that stuff as well. I like working with my hands and stuff. Yeah. So it's like, I like just, yeah, we're the same. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, like behind, you can't see the other side of the camera, but yeah, I'm building a bar right now with, I'm putting some tile on it and all that. So I'm just in the process of finishing that up, and I just did the floors in here, so I got to do flooring on the stairs, which isn't the best, but you know, so I'm always doing these projects, and now having a little more time is like, I feel like it's good for kind of for my mental health too, to do that stuff. Yeah.
Working with your hands, man. You stay if you stay busy, then you stay out of trouble. That's what I've been told. You know,
right.
I think it's like, when I'm not busy, then I just get in trouble.
I believe it, man. Well, hey, anything else to tell the people before I let you go? Any proper Roach news? Anything upcoming?
Well, we got a new record that we just finished up, and we're starting to work on music videos and collaborations for that. We're also working on the artwork for that stuff, and that's really exciting, getting into that next phase. And then just building up to releasing music this summer. So fans can expect new music from Papa Roach.
Nice.
Throughout this whole year. And as far as touring plans, we don't really have any touring plans quite yet. But we'll figure that out soon enough. But record, that thing's in the canon, and it's
sweet.
Fucking, it's fire, dude. It is just super inspired music, man.
I believe it, man. I thought Crooked Teeth was a great record. I think I thought your last record was maybe even better. And,
oh, wow.
And yeah, and everyone should check out the greatest hits. You know, if you've been sleeping on Papa Roach for the last 10 years, don't be anymore. Some really cool versions on that too. Some reimagined stuff and the remixes I thought were all really cool as well.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that, dude. And again, man, thanks for having me, Shane. I really appreciate it. I'm about to go rock some Silverstein in the backyard, dude, while I'm working, bro.
Do it up. Think of me when you're just fucking getting in there, man. That's what I love to do.
Get in.
Jacoby, thanks so much, man.
All right, my God. Definitely, brother.
Take care, man.
Peace.
So there it is with Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach. What an awesome guy. What an awesome conversation. 250 plus of these things, and that one's got to go down as one of my favorites. Thank you so much for listening. It was pretty funny when he didn't know who I was until the very end and then was going to jam out in the backyard to some Silverstein, and I hope he did. And hopefully we can finally do some shows together. I don't think we've ever done anything, like not even a European festival or anything together. So who knows? It could happen. And let me tell you this, I always respected Papa Roach. I always thought they were a great band, but I have become a legitimately really big fan of them over their last few records. I encourage anyone listening to this, if you still think of them as, you know, Last Resort and some of those early hits, do yourself a favor and check out their last few records. They have become very, very good songwriters, very, very good musicians, and yeah, it's impressive what they have done. I am going to play you a tune, but before I do that, I just want to thank you again so much. If you enjoy this thing, we got over 250 episodes you can go back and listen to. You can come see all the stuff we're doing over at twitch.tv/ShaneTold. Podcasts multiple times a week and all kinds of other, you know, unique stuff that you don't always get. I'll tell you, man, I wish Twitch and all these live streaming platforms existed when I was coming up as a music fan. Man, it's what a time to be alive. It's incredible. So yes, don't sleep on Twitch. And remember, if you want to get in touch with me, I read all my email, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Check out the Patreon. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. Word of mouth is huge for this thing. And thank you again so much for listening. There is a lot of Papa Roach hits, a lot of jams, but there was a song that Jacoby brought up. He said it's a bit of a deep cut, but it's one of his favorites, so I'm going to play it right now. Here is Periscope, Papa Roach on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love, and I'll see you next week.
It's a firestorm. I'm falling like a loaded weapon in your arms. Paranoid, it might be reckless. No matter what I say, it's only gonna steal your breath and slip away. Push away my demons when they torture.